What's up, guys? Welcome to the Behind the Deal podcast, where we explore growth through acquisition. Whether you're a private equity fund manager looking to expand your portfolio or a business owner aiming to scale and build lasting value through acquisition, each of our episodes will break down the strategies, stories, the lessons that make acquisition one of the most powerful paths to growth. I hope you enjoy. What's going on, guys? Welcome back to the Behind the Deal podcast. Today, I have J.R. Gilley on from Trinity Hunt. Trinity Hunt is a group that we love to work with here at DealGen. We are currently working on a thesis with them in the cold chain maintenance space. So cold logistics maintenance, cold storage maintenance. Really looking forward to diving in there. But we talk, you know, a little bit about Trinity Hunt, about their strategy, about how they work with founders, how they work with founders and their employees, how they can structure deals that allow founders to take some chips off the table today and benefit from the long-term growth of the company. And, you know, we dive a little bit more into the thesis that we're working on together. So if you want to learn a little bit more about how a top-tier, lower-middle market PE fund operates, I would say take a listen to this episode because, you know, JR gives a masterclass in that. Thanks. What's going on, JR? Good to see you, man.
Hey, good afternoon. How are you?
I'm doing good. Thanks for joining me. So as we were kind of talking about before we hopped on here, I wanted to take this time to maybe, you know, dedicate this episode to learning a little bit more about your firm, Trinity Hunt, and then talking a little bit more about, you know, one of the theses that you guys have recently developed and, you know, how you approach deal making, why you maybe have some conviction behind this particular thesis and, you know, your relationship, the relationship that you try to build, you know, with founders throughout that whole process. So if you're cool, we can just kind of dive right in.
Yep. That sounds great to me.
Awesome, man. So look, first let's start, you know, just for the audience's sake, with kind of a high level on Trinity Hunt, who you guys are and what you're all about.
Thanks. Trinity Hunt Partners, we're located here in Dallas, Texas. Been around for 30-ish years. A lot of our tenure, we were the investing arm of the Hunt family office. The Hunts are the family behind the Kansas City Chiefs. But over time, we've grown into more of the fund-based investors that we are today. We're currently investing out of our Fund 7 right now, which is around a $700 million fund raised in 2024, up from our Fund 6, which is around $460 million. At a high level, we are exclusively buy and build based investors in the services spaces and the value-added distribution spaces. What we like to do, we have a full research team here that does a lot of research into the spaces that we want to invest in, that we're interested in. We understand the ins and outs of the industries, business tailwinds, business headwinds, how fragmented or consolidated the market is, and any opportunity for a buy and build and building a best-in-class company, I guess, out of scratch, combining founder-led companies that are looking to transition into the next stage of their growth. So, like I said, we take a really thematic research-based approach, and then once we figure out that we want to invest in a certain space, we dive headfirst with buy-side broker outreach, like we're conducting today, right? And so, if you think about our approach to building platforms, it's really a two-pronged approach. One, what we're doing today, we're finding best-in-class founders, companies that have really high growth, really successful in their spaces, strong presence in their market, but are maybe just looking for the next stage of their growth, the next transition to the next owner, want to find a next partner that can take care of their employees and give their employees more opportunities, increased benefits, more opportunities to advance, things like that. So looking for best-in-class companies in the spaces that we're looking for, but then also combining those companies with best-in-class management team members, folks that have been there and done that before from a buy and build consolidation standpoint, and are looking to grow a company with us in the space. So again, a high level, Trinity Hunt Partners, buy and build investors located in Dallas, Texas, looking for service base and value add distribution companies.
Awesome, man. Perfect. So let's talk a little bit more about the specifics of the types of companies, right? So when you're evaluating a company, you guys have formed your thesis, and we'll get into the thesis in a second, but you've come up with a thesis, you start having conversation, or you build a whole team and build a whole plan around doing outreach and getting these founders potentially on the phone. What are you looking for when you get, you know, someone reaches out to a founder, they're interested in having a conversation, you guys start talking to them? What types of characteristics of the founder and characteristics of the business matter the most to you guys?
Yeah, I think, again, characteristics of the business, a business that is a stable business that's been growing really consistently, has a very specialized or strong position in their market. Someone that's a leader in the market from a service perspective or just an overall quality perspective. We really don't like partnering with businesses that are hairy businesses, need a lot of work. We really like partnering with, again, businesses that are leading in their industries or in their regions. Folks that really know what they're doing, but again, just want to find that partner for the next phase of growth, whether you're looking to eventually transition out and want to transition to the next level of management, but need a financial partner to do that, or just looking for a financial partner that will give you the tools to accelerate your growth. Again, looking for companies that are already really solid, clean, good growth companies. They're just looking to transition to the next stage of their growth.
Awesome. Now, for someone who's out there who has spent, you know, the last 20, 30 years growing and running a business, and they've never spent much time in this world of M&A, right? They might think that a transition or a transaction means selling the company entirely, maybe sticking around for a couple, you know, weeks or months, doing a transition period, and then sailing off into the sunset. And they might not understand that these other things that you're talking about, these other opportunities to, you know, partner and continue to grow, even exist. So when you're, you know, structuring these relationships with founders, especially some of those who, you know, want some liquidity now, but also want to stay involved in the business, how does that work? You know, talk to me as if I'm brand new to this and I've only been operating a business for 30 years and I don't really understand it.
Yeah, that's a great question. So one of the big things we also look for in our founders too is someone that wants to stay on and be a part of our next growth and obviously our next phase of growth. And obviously what that looks like is continuing involvement from you in the day-to-day management of your company and the company that you built, while again, the management team that I mentioned earlier is more of a platform level, corporate level team that is able to give your team at the local level more tools. But it looks like that from a management perspective, but also from a financial perspective as well. Obviously, through a transaction like this, you want liquidity, you want to take some chips off the table and get some benefit, obviously, from the high quality business that you've built. But another thing we do, and we've seen be really successful and really benefit folks later as well, is include rollover equity as a part of the transaction as well. So think about it as 20 to 30%, and it's something we can discuss when we meet, but 20, 30% of the total equity value of your company will include in rollover shares to this new company that we're building. And there's no weird structure. There's no odd legalese component to this rollover. It's the same shares that Trinity Hunt Partners and our management team will have. And what the idea is to build some buy-in and alignment between us as the sponsor, the management team, and then these founders that we're partnering with into that eventual exit, right? Into the next sponsor, the next company that will eventually own this platform. And so what we want to do is take that 20 to 30% rollover, you get common shares in the new company. Ideally, that's worth more than the cash value that you're receiving today from the sale of your company. So what that looks like at exit is ideally 3 or 4 or higher times of that original value. If we're able to grow the company like we expect, drive a lot of value through organic and inorganic means. And it really gives you a ideally bigger second bite of the apple versus the cash that you received day one. So again, it creates a lot of alignment between our management team, us as a sponsor, and then our founders, and ideally benefits everyone eventually when we exit the company.
Awesome. So would you mind, you know, talking about maybe a specific case study where this has actually played out? Like I know, you know, we had talked about Nextcore as a company that you guys, you know, bought. I think when we first spoke, it was around 3 million of EBITDA and now, you know, is flourishing. And that owner did exactly what you're saying, you know, rolled some equity and is still involved in the business. And that equity that he rolled is going to be meaningful. Would you mind just, you know, maybe telling a little bit about that story just to give me a better idea of how this actually works?
Yeah, absolutely. Nexcor is our commercial HVAC service provider company. So has a lot to do with the excitement and the focus that we have on the refrigeration services space. But quick background on Nexcor. We had a similar theme, similar interest in that commercial HVAC service space 3 years ago. And so we canvassed the landscape of best-in-class operators like we're doing today for the refrigeration services space and found a great partner up in Burlington, Vermont, a group called the Alliance Group. Think about it as a $3-ish million EBITDA business at the time. Really, really good at what they do, solid growth. The leaders are fantastic leaders. They have a great team, but they were looking for the next stage of growth, a new partner for the next stage of growth. And since then, we partnered with the Alliance Group, and we partnered with over 10 other partner companies across the eastern part of the United States currently to grow that platform, and then also combine them with really best-in-class management team, CEO, CDO, CFO, folks that have a lot of experience in this buy-and-build endeavor, putting together world-class companies and then eventually exiting them. And what that culminates to, right, is growing from the 3 million-ish EBITDA that Alliance was 3 years ago, partnering them with other companies, looking at things critically like pricing and how we're going to market and how we're running the business. And that company is now well over $30 million of EBITDA today. And what that looks like for those folks that were able to roll over their equity or their proceeds from the original transaction, obviously, as you scale and the business becomes bigger, the ultimate multiple that you would expect to sell for that business becomes higher. And so as you continue to grow and then your multiple becomes higher, it creates a lot of value for those shareholders that hold common equity. And we haven't sold the platform yet. We still hold the platform today. But assuming things continue to go well, you would expect a really nice, like I said earlier, second bite of the apple for those folks that have rolled their original proceeds from their initial sales. Ideally, it's going to be as big or bigger than their original cash proceeds. But of course, that's still to come. But that's what we're looking to do here with the refrigeration services space is find an initial partner to partner with, and then combine them with other best-in-class companies similar to them in other markets, and eventually achieve scale similar to or larger than where Nexcor is today.
That's a beautiful model, honestly. And it makes all the sense in the world, especially, you know, if you're out there, you know, targeting somebody who's owns a business and they're, you know, maybe in their 70s or 80s, you know, it might not be the absolute ideal fit, but, you know, someone who has put a lot of time, energy in this thing and still has time and energy left and conviction behind the company. I mean, there's no better way to sell this business than to, you know, be able to exit, put some chips in your pocket. Usually those are very meaningful, especially at the size of companies that you're buying. Like, you know, that's a lot of money, probably more than they've made, you know, just running the business over the last however many years. But then at the same time, getting all the resources that you guys provide, getting that management platform that you mentioned, and being able to focus their time and energy moving forward in the areas that, you know, they're best at and that they enjoy the most. And I know that a lot of the time when you're running a small, medium-sized business, you know, sub, call it 30, 40, 50 million of EBITDA, you're still involved in a lot of the day-to-day decisions, even though, you know, you've built out maybe a little bit of a management team and you have, you know, you've delegated responsibilities. You still got to be involved in HR and taxes and financials and, you know, even budgeting, all that stuff. And it's time consuming and it's, I'm sure, frustrating. And your time is probably best spent doing what you do best, which is business development. What got you to where you are today, building a 3, 4, 5 million EBITDA business? That's a lot of sales. That's a lot of business development. That's a lot of, you know, being the front facing person of that business. And I think if more owners knew that this structure was out there, you know, they'd take it really seriously, because at the end of the day, that's what they want to spend their time doing.
Absolutely. And I'd build on that too, right? I'll use the Nexcor example again. All of our founders that we partner with the Nexcor absolutely love the technical service part of what they do, being on a rooftop and working on these units. What they don't necessarily love to do is the HR part of the job, the finance and tax and accounting part of the job. And that's where we really come in with these management teams. We have a chief HR officer who's thinking critically every day about benefits and driving value that way. We've been able to take a lot of that responsibility off our founders. Same thing with our CFO and finance team, our FP&A team, taking a lot of that burden off of the founders and allowing them to focus on what they really enjoy doing most, which is managing the service and technical part of the business, not necessarily the back office parts of the business. So that's a great point to make for those out there thinking about making this transition.
Now, a lot of founders who have gotten to this point too, they're worried about money. They're worried about monetizing, you know, their biggest asset. But another worry that I hear often when talking to founders is what's going to happen to my employees? What's going to happen to the people who helped me get here and who I'm in the trenches with every day, who have maybe worked for me for 20 plus years? How do I make sure they're taken care of? How does Trinity Hunt address those situations?
Yeah, that's a fantastic question. One we get all the time. And thankfully we've built a track record. We can point to our companies and say, hey, this is what we do. But I'll take a step back and try to answer this question in the most holistic way I can. I know there's a lot of bad press out there about private equity coming in and changing the way management does things or firing employees. If you think about us at Trinity Hunt and our strategy, we're purely focused on growth and building a platform and becoming bigger and partnering with companies that are already really good at what they do, but want to enable that next phase of growth. That would be impossible if we came in and fired the employees that had already put that company in a position to be as successful as that company is today. And so that's totally against our strategy here at Trinity Hunt. We're focused on growth. We focused on retaining as many employees as possible, having little to no involuntary turnover. We want to be the acquirer, the employer of choice, and really create an even better environment for those employees to work within. And that allows them to focus on what they do best, which is providing world-class service to your customers, which is what we need to continue to do in order to be successful with our strategy. So we focus on enabling and adding to headcount and adding to capabilities versus trying to save a penny by reducing headcount. That's not within our strategy.
Absolutely. No, great answer. And honestly, encouraging for those out there who have that thought, right? This is meant to benefit everybody involved. And although the seller is technically selling, and it doesn't mean that those people still aren't going to have a tremendously meaningful role moving forward. And your job is to protect that and to ensure that that company is staying as healthy as it can. It in order to do so, it needs those people. Those people know the business as well as anybody. Let's talk a little bit about the thesis that you and I are paying attention to right now, which is kind of in that refrigeration services. You know, when you're evaluating this thesis, or when you're coming up with this thesis in particular, what are kind of the long-term opportunities you see within this refrigeration and cold chain services space?
Yeah. So we have a lot of things that we like about this space. Again, we have a full research team that we partnered with, and we did a lot of research into the space. And there's a lot of themes. I'll say this. There's a lot of themes that we look at that don't pass the smell test for us, that we don't explore. We don't get to this point. That certainly wasn't the case here with refrigeration services. So at a high level, some of the things that we really like about this space, there's some really good tailwinds and regulatory changes, things switching over to more environmentally friendly refrigerant systems. That's driving a lot of demand and a lot of service demand within the refrigeration services space. And we think it's going to be a really nice driver of growth over the next several years. Just in general, there's a really steady demand for industrial refrigeration services. These are very critical, very non-discretionary services that these folks are providing. It doesn't matter if the S&P 500 is down 20%. This is a non-critical. This is a very critical service that folks can't eliminate from their budget. It's critical to their business, and we see a lot of similarities with that, frankly, in commercial HVAC service as well. It's just playing out nicely at Nexcor. So see a lot of similarities there. And then lastly, the buy and build opportunity. We still see this space as is very fragmented. There's a lot of really, really good operators and founder-owned businesses within the space. And a lot of those folks are looking to join a new and growing platform like we're trying to put together here. We see a really excellent opportunity to combine a lot of those companies into a really world-class platform and drive a lot of value growth, equity growth, like I mentioned earlier, for the founders that join that platform. So a lot to really like about this space. And there's a lot of learnings that we've brought from Nextcore, commercial HVAC service provider, again, that a lot of similarities with the two spaces and why we're really interested in the refrigeration services space.
I think it makes all the sense in the world. You know, these things are crucial to so many key industries within, you know, everyone's everyday life, food, pharmaceuticals, medication, the places that are holding these goods, these precious things that, you know, everyone's kind of using on a daily basis, they need to remain at a certain temperature. These companies, especially these bigger companies that are, you know, getting tremendous funding too, public companies, there's all sorts of different shapes and sizes of these businesses that, you know, every second that those refrigerators or those cold, you know, storage products are down, are losing hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars. So it's such a core piece of everything. And I think there's tremendous conviction behind it. And I think that, you know, I'm sure some of the great operators out there that hopefully we're going to be talking to here soon understand that and want to take advantage of the opportunity that's in front of them. And, you know, for no other reason other than they bootstrapped the business, might just not be in a place that they can do it alone. They might be able to, they might have taken the business, you know, as far or close to as far as they can get it with their own piggy bank that they've created. And it's tremendous what they've been able to build. But at the same time, with resources and a team like yours, you know, I think they'll be able to see that picture that there's so much more that they can capture, so much more value to be created, so many more big clients out there that are, you know, investing heavily into the infrastructure that is pharmaceuticals, that is medication, that is food, that is, you know, everything, the lifeblood of really, you know, our society. So
yeah,
I understand why you guys believe in it. I think we're going to be successful in being able to convey that value and that dream to some of these guys. And I'm looking forward to kind of tackling this with you guys.
Yeah, absolutely. Agreed with all that.
Awesome, man. Well, look, this has been great. I really appreciate the time. I appreciate the overview on Trinity Hunt. I appreciate, you know, you telling us a little bit more about how you guys work with founders, why you have some conviction here in this space, and, you know, how you plan on building this platform. The story, the Nextcore story, I think speaks volumes about who you guys are and your capabilities. And yeah, I mean, I'm looking forward to, you know, diving in here and continuing to build our relationship too. So I appreciate the time and thanks a lot, JR. This has been great.
Yeah, absolutely. And the last thing I note for everyone listening, first off, thank you for your time. We really appreciate it. And if an intro would be of interest, and if we get down the path of becoming a lot more serious about talking about the next phase of growth for your business, this exactly right here is what we do at Trinity Hunt on an everyday basis. This is our strategy that we pursue every day. And what that means is we have a lot of other founders who have been through the process that you're contemplating with us in the past. And if it becomes serious and we become a lot closer to a potential transaction, I'm sure several of them would be happy to talk with you about their experience with us and what life after a transaction looks like. Happy to be of any help.
That's awesome. Nothing speaks better than good reviews, good publicity straight from, you know, the mouth of someone who's been through it before. This is awesome, man. Thank you. I really appreciate it. Looking forward to diving in, like I said. And yeah, let's get this thing built.
Awesome. Thank you. Appreciate it.